you, Dr. Brown, and thank you, ESA, for having me. As mentioned, my name is Christina Francois, and I work with Dr. Sean Walker at Cal State Fullerton, and the title of my master's work is Moth Diversity Along an Elevational Gradient in Southeast Arizona. And I'm going to go ahead and start with some background. Diversity can change across gradients such as latitude, ocean depth, and elevation. And factors that influence change along an elevational gradient can be climatic or physiographic. And climatically, as you increase in elevation, you decrease in air temperature, decrease in air pressure, and increase in precipitation. And physiographically, because the mountain is shaped like a cone, as you increase in elevation, you'll decrease in area, an increase in isolation, increasing speciation and endemicity. And both climatic and physiographic factors contribute to an optimal combination for plant and animal species diversity at an intermediate elevation. So to take a closer look at where species diversity peaks, I hypothesize that moth diversity along an elevational gradient in the Santa Catalina Mountains in southeast Arizona will peak at the mid-elevations. Furthermore, I predicted that the moth communities at the high and the mid-high elevations will be the most similar to each other. And I based this hypothesis on the optimal climatic and physiographic conditions, numerous previous studies, as well as the climatic variability hypothesis and the Rappaport rescue hypothesis, which I will further describe. The climatic variability hypothesis by Stevens in 89 and 92 proposed that species at high altitudes have broader environmental and climatic tolerances than low elevation species and thus have larger altitudinal ranges. The Rappaport elevational rule furthermore states that species ranges increase as elevation increases. Stevens went on to describe the Rappaport rescue hypothesis where the close proximity of such broad ranges creates range overlap and high species diversity in communities with a high number of interacting species. So to test my hypothesis, let me back up just a second. So this is our visualization representation of these hypotheses, and you can see here that the high elevation communities have broader ranges, inflating the mid-elevation communities, while the low elevations have smaller ranges. So to test this, I worked with moths, which are an excellent study organism, and 99% of the species in the order Lepidoptera are herbivorous as caterpillars. And in North America, 93% of the order of Lepidoptera are moths. Moths have been found to be excellent indicator species of lepidopteran richness and habitat disturbance. They have excellent host plant and nectar plant relationships. They're taxonomically well known, abundant, and easy to collect. And I chose to do my work in the Sky Islands, which is a compilation of 27 mountain ranges in Arizona, New Mexico, and Mexico, ranging from subtropical to temperate latitudes. And more specifically, I chose to work within the Santa Catalina Mountains, within the Coronado National Forest, on Mount Lemmon. And Mount Lemmon provided me with a 1,900 meter gradient. My favorite quote about Mount Lemmon is that even though it is only 27 miles from the Tucson Basin to the top of Mount Lemmon, it is ecologically comparable to going from the deserts of northern Mexico to the forests of southern Canada. And here we are again with the Santa Catalina Mountains and Mount Lemmon at the peak. And notice the change in vegetation as elevation changes. And notice the sample sites along the Catalina Highway. My low elevation was at 920 meters in a desert scrub community. My mid-low elevation was sampled at 1,700 meters in a riparian oak woodland. My mid-high was sampled at 2,390 meters in ponderosa pine forests, and my high elevation was sampled at 2,760 meters in a mixed conifer forest. And in the 60s, Whitaker and Nearing did extensive vegetational studies, and they found that the vegetation diversity peaked at a mid-elevation. So to summarize my methods, as I mentioned, I had four elevation sites that I sampled, low, mid, low, mid-high, and high, with two subsites per elevation, which were on opposite facing slopes and avoided the burn area from the 2003 Aspen fire. I sampled along the Catalina Highway from dawn to dusk during the new moon phase of June, July, and August of 2006 for a total of 14 nights. And this corresponded with the change from the dry to the wet monsoon season. As you see here, I used a universal blacklight trap from BioQuip, and I placed one trap per site per elevation per night for a total of 56 trap nights, and 48 of those were viable due to things like burnt out bulbs and dead batteries. I'm sorry. I then sorted my specimens to larger than 1 centimeters to morpho species, and I did this due to taxonomic difficulty and time, and then I identified them to family with the help of Ron Leuschner at the Natural History Museum. I analyzed my data to look at species accumulation curves and community similarity using Excel, Ecosim, Primer, and Perminova. And over the whole season, the mid-low and the mid-high elevations had the highest species richness, and the low elevation had the highest abundance. And noctuids were the largest family contributors with 48% of the abundance and 52% of the morpho species. Now, to account for the large variation in sampling effort that I had, I used species accumulation curves to look at species diversity. And as you can see here, on the y-axis we have number of species, and on the x we have individuals. And at a uniform sampling effort of about 2,000 individuals, you can see that the mid-low elevation has the highest species diversity, followed by the mid-high elevation. And with confidence intervals, it's a little messy on this graph, but when they're on there, you can see that these are significantly different from each other. For July, you can see that the mid-low, mid-high, and high elevational communities at a standard abundance of about 1,200 individuals were significantly higher in species diversity than the low elevation. And in August, at about 700 individuals, you can see that the mid-low elevation clearly has a higher species diversity and is significantly different from the other elevations. Now, based on the Brake-Hurtis similarity matrix, I use an MDS plot to look at community similarity. And as you can see here, the low elevation samples were more similar to each other regardless of month, while the other elevations somewhat grouped together by month. So we have the high, mid-high, and mid-low elevations grouping together for the month of June, while the June, August, mid-low, mid-high, and high groups kind of grouped together in similarity, indicating somewhat of a seasonal trend or seasonal transition. And noctuids, again, were the largest contributor to the change in community similarity, with 41 to 65% similarity for the whole season. We then looked at shared and unique species, and here we have on the y-axis morpho species and on the x month and elevation. And as you can see, the low elevation consistently had more unique species and fewer shared species, while the mid-high, high, and mid-low elevational communities had more shared than unique species. The high and the mid-high consistently throughout the entire sampling season were the most similar to each other, with 21 to 29% similarity, followed by the mid-high and the mid-low communities with 12 to 16% similarity. And we see that that seasonal transition again here, where the high elevation in June and July shared 45 to 50 morpho species with the mid-high community, and 40 to 60 morpho species with the mid-high and mid-low during June and July. However, in August, the high elevation becomes less of a donor community, with 15 to 20 morpho species shared with mid-high and mid-low. And the low elevation stays consistent in its donation morpho species, but the August drops down, or the high drops down during August. And this is consistent with our diagram that we presented earlier, where the species at high elevations have broader ranges while the low elevation species have narrow ones. And these results are consistent with our other hypotheses that we stated earlier, the climatic variability hypothesis, Rappaport's rescue rule, and Rappaport's elevational rule, and that high altitudinal species have broader environmental and climatic tolerances and larger ranges than low species, and the close proximity of all these ranges creates a range overlap and thus higher species diversity. Now, while Rappaport's elevational rule has been interpreted as having a decrease in species diversity with an increase in elevation, several, Rabeck 95, 97, and Sanders 02, actually think that the peak should be at the mid elevation, and several have also found both a Rappaport's effect and a mid elevation peak. Other hypotheses include the ends are bad hypothesis, which is about climatic severity, the middle is good, which is based on plant productivity, and Colwell and Hertz mid domain effect, which is the random placement of ranges along an elevational gradient. Now, our curves were significantly different from the mid-domain effect curves. The significance of my project on a local scale is the possible change in the donor community, which indicates that longer-term studies should be done on elevational gradients. And regionally, the Sky Island Mountains are currently considered a hot spot for biological conservation. And globally, to look at montane insects and the repercussions of global warming. And furthermore, I would like to acknowledge the Associated Students, Faculty Development Center, and Biological Department of Cal State Fullerton, my committee, Dr. Jones, Dr. Stapp, and additional input from Dr. Shank and Dr. Horn, people who helped me in the field and the lab, and support and encouragement from Dr. Evans, John Acorn, Dr. Nagel, Dr. Walsh, and Dr. Underwood. Are there any further questions?
We do have time for a couple of questions. Yes.
I wonder, the question of soil elevation, did you do some sampling to determine what is a fair cutoff time in the season between the flood line earlier than June for soil elevation?
I'm sorry, what was the specific question?
Soil elevation starts sampling in June. Did you not exist quite the first season?
By not sampling earlier?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that to fully understand diversity, especially across a seasonal change, I think it would have to be over a span of a year. Unfortunately, due to time and based on things like seasonal influences like the monsoon season, initially I thought that perhaps that would be enough. Looking back, I mean, you could do this over 10 years and still be sorting moths for 20 years, but based on the abundances that I got and time available, that's what I looked at. Yes? The question was in regards to species smaller, or specimens smaller than 1 centimeter in their abundance. And I did notice a trend, at least in biomass, that the low elevation had more micro specimens, but to sort through that and based on their shape and their condition, it would have just been an absolute disaster. So. Is that all?